Title of the message today is Protection from Destructive Teaching. Protection from Destructive Teaching. We're going to be looking at 2 Peter, second letter that Peter wrote. We looked at his first letter last week. This is his second letter. And for our text, I'm going to be reading from 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 3 through 11. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It should be also up here on the screen in the New Living Translation. And here's what Peter had to say. This is the same Apostle Peter that walked on the water when Jesus said, come on. Same Peter who cried bitterly when he realized that he had disowned Christ. Same Peter that Jesus gave encouragement to after his resurrection. And he wrote these words. Someone who had spent time with Jesus. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting what they have been cleansed from, their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things, and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Anyone going to be upset if I tell a joke about hunting and shooting animals and things like that? Everybody all right with that? So, three friends, a lawyer, a doctor, and a preacher, went hunting. And as they were hunting, this buck came right in front of them. And so they all shot simultaneously. And the buck fell. Well, they went over to see. And when they got there, there was only one bullet hole. So they started to debate about who shot the deer and who that deer belonged to. And they were debating about that. And I guess a park ranger came over, and they said, what are you guys debating about? And he said, well, you know, we all shot, but there's only one bullet hole, and we don't know which one it belongs to. He says, I could tell you who that is. He says, you can? I said, sure. So the preacher shot it. He said, how do you know that? He said, simple. The bullet went in one ear and out the other. Now, I hope that when I'm preaching and sharing some truths with you, they don't go in one ear and out the other. But, you know, there's also some false teachers out there, and I wouldn't mind if when they preach, it would go in one ear and out the other. And in his second letter, Peter is warning us against false teachers. Look what he says in chapter 2, verse 1. But there were also false prophets in Israel, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will cleverly teach destructive heresies and even deny the master who bought them. In this way, they will bring sudden destruction on themselves. Peter's letting us know that there are false teachers, false prophets out there, and they are characterized by deception and arrogance and false impression, earthly mindedness. They're religious imposters. And Peter wants to protect us so that we don't succumb to these destructive influences. And among other things that these false teachers were teaching at the time of Peter was that after you have accepted Christ, you could do anything you please. For you're saved not by any good things that you could do, not by your own effort, but you're saved by grace. Therefore, God forgives no matter what you do. So get ahead and sin. It doesn't matter. Just live any way you please. God forgives. And while it's true that works cannot bring about our salvation, it's absolutely false to think that works are not important. They are very important. And poor Peter warns us of the judgment that will come not only upon the false teachers, but upon those who say they are Christians and yet have returned to their former way of life and their former lusts. They're living like the world and saying that they're Christians. And so these conditions that were going on in the church at the time of Peter, along with Peter's anticipation of his soon coming death, along with him teaching that Christ was coming again, made for a very strong sense of urgency in Peter as he writes this letter. And he's encouraging us to persevere in our faith. There's going to be false teachers. I want you to be aware of that, he says, but you can overcome their heresies if you persevere in growing in your faith. As I was preparing this message this week, I received an email, and the email had a link to look at a documentary, to watch this documentary, on a man from Russia who was a police officer, a patrol officer, but now he claims that he is the reincarnated Christ. He is the Word of God. And he lives in Siberia, and there's actually a community now. People are coming. Thousands of people have come to live around where he lives in this community in Siberia. That he is Christ. Now, that's an easy one to refute, because Jesus himself said in Luke chapter 21, verse 8, "Don't let anyone mislead you. For many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah, I am the Christ, and saying the time has come, but don't believe them." So there's some false teachers that we look at, and it's pretty obvious that they're false teachers. But some aren't so obvious. There are teachers perhaps you have even seen on TV, but they're false teachers, and they're false prophets. Even more subtle is the danger of the philosophies of the world coming into our beliefs and thinking that certain things that the world says is okay is okay. Paul said, don't conform to the ways of the world. Don't copy their behaviors. Eugene Peterson put it this way, Romans 12:2. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. So Peter wants us to know these things so that we don't succumb to false teachings. As a matter of fact, one of the key words in Peter's letter, second letter, is the word knowledge or know. That's how he starts off this letter, as a matter of fact. Let's take a look at verses 1 and 2. This is from the NIV. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. Before I go on, I want you to notice where that Peter says, calls Jesus, what does he say about Jesus? That Jesus is our God and our Savior. God and Jesus are the same. And he says, grace and peace to you in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Knowledge here means to comprehend thoroughly, to know exactly. And it's talking about having a knowledge of God. And we gain that knowledge of God when we accept Christ into our lives. When we say, Lord, I see that I've been living in sin. I ask you to forgive me. I accept that your sacrifice on the cross was for me. And I ask you to forgive my sins. Come into my life. Give me your Spirit. When we do that, it begins this knowledge of God. And we proceed in that. And we grow in that. And that's where our protection begins. This faith that we have in Jesus that brings us this knowledge of God. One of the things that protects us is this very salvation that we find in Christ. One of the protections from false prophets is to know salvation. According to 2 Peter that we just read, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 that we just read. A second protection is to know Scripture. We grow in our knowledge of the Bible. We grow in the knowledge of truth. And then we can get to know God better. We know what he wants us to know. And then we won't be fooled by false teachings. Here's what Peter writes in 2 Peter 1, verses 12 and 20 about Scripture. He says, therefore, I will always remind you about these things, even though you already know them and are standing firm in the truth that you have been taught. Above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from a prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Spirit and they spoke from God. The Bible was inspired, the people who wrote the Bible were inspired by God. It's God's word, so it's for help. From heresies, you need to know Scripture. So you need to know salvation, you need to know Scripture. And then the third protection, we talked about it last week, is to know sanctification. This is knowing your spiritual condition and committing yourself, your whole heart, your whole life to Christ, to be set apart for God alone, to be consecrated to God alone. That is the way that you start to add to your faith. And those are the things that will protect you from false teaching. Here's what Peter has to say about sanctification. It's in 2 Peter chapter 1 from our text today, verses 3 and 4. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need to live a godly life, to live a sanctified life. We have received all of it by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of that glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that will enable you to share his divine nature, and to escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. God has given us everything we need to live a godly life, to know God and how he wants us to live. He's given us all that we need. Matter of fact, the power to grow doesn't come from us, it comes from God. And not only that, but he has given us some great and precious promises. And these promises motivate us to grow in our faith, to know God even better. What are these promises? Well, as you read through 2 Peter, you'll find what these promises are. But these promises are about the second coming of Christ, about eternal life, about a new heaven and a new earth, about believers coming into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ. And these promises, we're told, are the promises that enable us to have God's Spirit. We share in the divine nature so that we can escape the corruption that's in this world that comes from our own human desires. So we can escape all these things through Christ and his death and resurrection. The promises encourage us to grow in our faith. We have to take action and grow in our faith. As Peter puts it in verses 5 through 7, in view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith or add to your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and to that knowledge, and to that self-control, and to self-control patient endurance, and to patient endurance godliness, and to godliness brotherly affection, and to brotherly affection love for everyone. So in view of all this, in view of all what? In view of all those promises, all these precious promises that God has given us, promises to have His divine power, His Spirit in us that helps us live a godly life, promises of our eternal destiny in the kingdom of God, promises that the Holy Spirit will give us power to escape the corruption of the world. In view of all these promises, make every effort to respond to those promises of God. That word that's translated, make every effort, is a very unique New Testament word. And it means to work alongside of. To work alongside of. While Christ gives us the power and the divine nature, we must also make use of that power. We must make every effort to work along with Christ and with God's Spirit. We need to add to our lives these seven virtues that Peter's going to mention. And we need to supplement our lives. There's some effort on our part, working along with God. We have to supplement our faith with the things that Peter describes. And that word supplement is also another interesting word. Other versions have add, the word add, A-D-D. Supplement. That word means, I should have put that word up. I'm sorry, I didn't give you the Greek word. I should have gave you the Greek word for supplement. Because in the middle of that word, you will see a word that looks very much like our word, chorus. And that's where we get our word chorus from. We have a choir that sings here at the church. They just did an Advent cantata not too long ago. And that choir is made up of different voices. Some sing soprano, some sing alto, some sing tenor, and some sing bass. And when they are all singing their parts correctly, it makes a beautiful harmony. And our goal when we sing, when the choir is singing, is to sound like one voice. And when we do, it's beautiful. As Christians, make every effort to work alongside of the Spirit of Christ, in harmony with Him, in unity with Him, that we might become more and more like Christ, because when we do, it's beautiful. Believers must use power of God. Every ounce of determination, add to your faith. Fully in cooperation with God, with all diligence, to be kept safe from the heresies of false teachers and from the ungodly ideas of a secular society. And it all begins with faith. That's the starting point. But then Peter says it can't stop with that. Can't be, faith is not faith alone. There is a works that comes with faith. And he knew what James knew. You know the famous verse from James. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? We're not saved by our works, but we're saved to work. And it's hard work. It's discipline. Americans don't like discipline too much. They're not used to discipline. But faith must result in action, and it takes discipline. You must add to your faith these seven virtues, and you need each one of these. There's no optional ones here. You need each one. And it's not like you finish one, when you got that one down, then you can work on another one, you know? It's not like, let me get this one perfect, then I can work on the next one. You have to work on all of these at the same time and add them to your faith. And they need to be a continual part of your Christian life. So here's the first one. First thing that you need to add to your faith to protect yourself from heresies is moral excellence or moral goodness. The moral character and standards of the Christian must surpass those of non-Christians. Why? Because our faith's in Christ, and we want to mirror Christ. He's our example. He's our inspiration, and we want to be like him. And it takes courage to stand up for moral goodness. But it's developed by staying true to the tests that we face and staying true to those moral standards. But moral excellence has to be added to as well, and we need to add to that knowledge. We need to know what the moral standards are. We need knowledge. The word knowledge here is a knowledge that leads to wisdom. It leads to discernment. It enables us to know what God wants us to know about being morally excellent. So we have to grow in our knowledge of God and in our knowledge of divine things. Again, the reason for knowing God's word and living God's word. And then to knowledge, you need to add self-control. That refers to mastery over sinful human desires in every aspect of life. And it's self-control that's inward as well as outward. In Galatians 5, we know that self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And so Christians have the help of the Holy Spirit to be self-controlled. False teachers were saying, and sometimes today say as well, that self-control isn't needed. And the world tempts us. You know, the world tempts you to throw off all self-restraint, and then when you do, it condemns you for doing it. Peter explains that believers are saved so that they could grow and then resemble Christ. And that's going to take some discipline, some self-control, and some effort. And so self-control must naturally lead to patient endurance, perseverance, steadfastness. It endures suffering, it endures temptations, it endures trials, it endures evil without giving up your faith and trust in God. This word in the New Testament refers to a steadfastness in the face of adversity. Steadfastness in faith during trials and other suffering and other things that you go through. And it develops your faith. And it leads to godliness. Godliness is a correct attitude toward God and a correct attitude towards other people. It's awareness of God in all of your life. It's an attitude that exemplifies Christ. It's being empowered by God. It's recognizing our dependence upon God and our reverence for God. It recognizes that we need God's favor, God's grace. Every moment. It's a state of soul that seeks to conform to the will of God in all things by the power of God's Spirit. Godliness. Christians must have a right relationship with God and a right relationship with their fellow believers. And so it follows then that godliness must lead to brotherly affection. Brotherly affection or brotherly kindness, concern for the caring of others. The Greek word here for brotherly affection is the word Philadelphia. Anyone ever go to Philadelphia? It's the city of what? The city of brotherly love, because that's what that word means. Brotherly love, brotherly affection. In the Greek culture at the time of Peter, this word Philadelphia meant affection between family members. But Peter kind of extends the meaning of that, and he says it should also include the family of believers as well. It should be brotherly love. Like we should love one another as if we are brothers and sisters who should get along like brothers and sisters should get along. And it's an intense kind of love. Here's what Peter says in verse 22. You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth, so now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all of your heart. Paul put it this way in Romans 12. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. And we're admonished in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 24. To think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. So godliness is a right attitude toward God, toward people, that leads to our loving one another as brothers and sisters in the Christian faith. But our love can't stop there. It's not limited to just loving those that are our brothers and sisters in the church. Brotherly affection must lead to love for everyone. So there's this one Greek word that means brotherly affection, Philadelphia. There's another word that means love, and it's the word that he uses here, and it's the word agape. It's a Greek word that means a love that must go deeper. It's a love that seeks the highest good for others. It's a love that puts others before ourselves. It's a self-sacrificing love. It's the same kind of love that God demonstrated in saving us. Agape love. Selfless love. When that love is among us as believers, it allows for weaknesses. It allows for imperfections. It deals with problems and it affirms one another. It stays strongly committed to one another and loyal to one another. And it holds us together no matter what we face, whatever persecutions, suffering, trials, things that we run into, disagreements with each other, we'll stick in there with one another because of this agape kind of love. But this love must extend not only to us, but also to others as well. Because God loved us even when we weren't loving Him. God was loving us even when we were His enemies. That's agape love. Love others even when they're being your enemies. Love them. And so this entire process comes to a climax, comes to a conclusion and completion when we get to a place where we can exhibit agape love. Not only for God, not only for the community of believers, but for all mankind. And the result of supplementing our faith with those things. And I'm going to read the verse and then we'll just go through it real quick. Chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. The more you grow like this, adding these things to your faith, the more you grow like that, the more productive and useful you'll be in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will not be short-sighted or blind, forgetting that you have been cleansed from your old way of life and your old sins. Dear brothers and sisters, work hard. It's hard work. But work hard and prove that you really are people who belong to God, called and chosen by Him. Do these things and you will not fall away. That word fall away is also you will not go to ruin. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So do these things and here's the results. Number one, there'll be increased fruitfulness in your life. You will not be idle and unproductive. You'll be fruitful. Second, you'll sustain a perspective. You won't forget what God has done for you. Third, you'll have assured perseverance. You will not fall away. And fourth, there'll be this promised reward when God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. stand with me. I just want to pray for you before you're dismissed. Oh, Father, we are so thankful for this knowledge of salvation that is given to us in Christ. That by His death and the forgiveness of our sins, we can know salvation. And we thank You, our God and our Savior, Jesus, for loving us that much, that You gave Your life for us. And Lord, may we not take this precious gift and Your promises for granted. But may we be people who are adding to our faith and growing in our faith, knowing You better, being fruitful for You, persevering, having hope, being more and more like the people You called us to be. Help us not to take these things lightly, Lord, but to come alongside of You and give it every effort we have. I thank You, Lord, for this time together. I pray that You would dismiss us with Your blessing. And I pray, Lord, that this would be a good week as we would seek You, be filled with You, and share Your love with everyone we come in contact with. We love You, Lord. And Jesus, we pray these things in Your name. Amen.